Are you ready to talk baseball? Well, step up to the plate. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime. And here's your host, Walter.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? And welcome back to another episode of Passion for the Pastime podcast. I'm your host, Walter Icabalceta. How does that feel for you guys? Had somebody suggest, hey, why don't you use your full name? I don't know. I never thought about it, actually. I just used it. How does it feel? It felt all right. It felt all right. But hey, how's everybody doing? Welcome back to the podcast, Passion for the Pastime on a weekly basis. I hope this is appointment listening for everyone. And this is a good one. We're going to have a regular of the podcast joining us today because he is immersed in the March Madness, the madness of March. We are going to talk about some tourney games at the beginning of it, but we're also going to get into some baseball talk with the great Dan Hayes of the Minnesota Twins for The Athletic. He is back on the beat out there in Florida in Fort Myers. He had spent a lot of time, I think he was in Vegas, actually, with the great Matt Maiocco of the San Francisco 49ers. So I'm going to just dive into what Dan has been doing this offseason. But he is heading back over to Fort Myers to cover the Twins. And there's a lot of storylines with the Minnesota Twins. Mainly, what we're going to get into is the Carlos Correa saga that ended with Carlos saying goodbye to the Twins. And then he's in spring again. He's in spring training. He's in Fort Myers. So we're going to talk about Carlos Correa as well. And we're going to also talk about the WBC with Edwin Diaz going down with that horrific injury. I was watching the game and, the text messages just came in saying, wow, this is how the game's going to end. And you just look up at the screen and you see Edwin Diaz just... The celebration was on for Puerto Rico for maybe about 15 seconds until it all just dissipated. And it's horrible. You see his brother out there on the field who's also on Team Puerto Rico, and he's in tears. And you just see the whole demeanor of the locker room. You had Francisco Lindor coming out, speaking out on the injury as well. He's a teammate of him. In New York. So it was a horrific time. But outside of that, the WBC has been a fantastic tournament. I mean, we're getting to see the world's talent showcased on this stage. And despite the injury, I have loved the tournament. And I don't think the injury is going to sway me in saying that the WBC should be canned or anything like that, because there's a lot of people jumping to that conclusion. So we're going to talk to Dan about that. I want to see what he has to say about the WBC, about what he's watched, what he's observed. And because he has a lot of, or the Twins organization have a lot of players participating in this year's version of the WBC. So what's the concern level? I mean, after you see Edwin Diaz go down to this type of injury, is there a higher concern? And I would just say, we'll get the answers from Dan, but I'm just going to go ahead and say that anytime an athlete puts on the uni, anytime they step onto that field, they are at risk. Whether they are playing in the WBC, which some people label as meaningless games, I think that's uncalled for. I think that these guys, if you were to ask anyone on Team Puerto Rico, anyone on the Dominican, anyone on Team USA and Team Japan, everyone that's still in there, Team Mexico, if you were to ask any of these athletes if these games were meaningless, I think you get a chuckle, because these guys, the importance that it carries for someone to represent their country, I think is not being weighed properly. So we're going to talk to Dan Hayes. We're going to get into all of that. We're going to see if this hurts the WBC in any way, and we're going to talk about some Twins ball also. But coming up next, we are talking with the great Dan Hayes of The Athletic, covering the Minnesota Twins. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to Passion for the Pastime podcast. I am your host, Walter Icavalceta, and for this episode of the podcast, I welcome our resident NorCal pal with SoCal ties who covers the Minnesota Twins for The Athletic. I don't know if you're still with me. He's all over the place. But the great Dan Hayes, who last time we spoke, Dan, Carlos Correa was going to be a member of the Mets. Now he's back with the Twins. After all that madness, I don't know where to start, man. But we're going to talk some WBC. And speaking of madness, actually, that's where we're going to start. Welcome, Dan. How are you doing? And how's your bracket going so far after a crazy day of the tourney?
Yeah, it's funny. I get to actually go to the games in Orlando on Thursday because San Diego State was playing there. And I realized I was like, I arrived at halftime of the Virginia Furman game, and like Furman, you know, upset special, right? And I'm cheering like crazy. And I had made my knockout pool picks so late the night before, I forgot I took Virginia in the first round. Oh. And like I rooted against my own team. So I got back to the hotel and I noticed that I had knocked myself out with my own energy. So it was great. Bracket overall, not good, but I'm sure, you know, pretty much everybody is probably in that boat with Arizona. So
yeah, Arizona screwed me up, but you talk about Vermin, man. I actually did two brackets because we were watching it all at the studio while the show's going on because, you know, I have a job and we didn't really care for that last 2 minutes of the game.
That was so crazy.
Dude, I had two brackets and I picked Vermin in both of them. So that's my claim to fame, Dan.
You knew that hook shot of a pass was going to be intercepted, setting up the Steph Curry three. That kid's probably never taken a three so deep in his life. And just needing a two to tie, but hey, it was insane in person. Like, again, San Diego State, I might be the only person that benefited from their terrible draw. We can, I could go on for a half hour about getting stuck in, like, San Diego State and St. Mary's are two of four teams that had to travel more than 1,000 miles for their tournament seating. And, you know, that's besides the point. It led me to see Furman upset Virginia, which was pretty crazy. I'll tell you what, Amway Arena or whatever Orlando's venue is called was pretty electric when that happened. So that was fun.
Oh, man. Well, congratulations to your Aztecs for moving forward, man. I know that you're out there repping. So everybody listening to this podcast, Dan Hayes of the Minnesota Twins, they're all like, oh, I thought this was a baseball podcast. We're talking some Kearney. but Dan, let's go ahead and get into some baseball, man. We are going to go ahead and dissect your thoughts on the Edwin Diaz injury in the WBC, where he tore his patellar tendon in his right knee, lost for the season before it began, where some people say he lost for the season for a game that's meaningless in spring. I would say that is a relative term. I'm not going to go out there and say that these are meaningless games. If you were to ask Edwin Diaz and other players participating in the WBC, the honor of representing your country means everything to these guys. So certainly it isn't meaningless. Just want to get your thoughts on Edwin Diaz's injury and just the WBC as a whole.
It's unfortunate because, look, this is I love the WBC, and it's really weird because I just don't think that Americans enjoy it in particular as much as other places. Like, this is a huge event. You should see the amount of trash talk. And covering the Twins, there are six guys from Puerto Rico. Venezuela has four people on its coaching staff from the Twins. Pablo Lopez is one of their pitchers. It's a huge deal to these guys to represent their countries and play in this event. And so when people say it's meaningless or watered down, all that, I don't agree with it at all. All you have to do is flip on a game being played in Miami and hear the crowd and know that there's no crowd. If you took 10 of the Marlins' best crowds, they aren't going to be able to replicate what's going on in Miami during that pool. There's just so much. Hey, look at the games in Taipei. Look, you know, the games in Japan. Everywhere you look, the crowds are into it, and they're sort of into it here, but it's just not the same, probably because, you know, Major League Baseball is ours, right? And it's the sport that we kind of Like, we have the best professional league. Whereas, you know, you think about soccer and the way it is, like, it's just not the same. I don't know. I think that just to render it as meaningless is terrible. And it's just unfortunate that Edwin Diaz got hurt, because, look, this could have happened in Mets camp just as easily. Exactly. Now, would he have been celebrating? No. But he wasn't really in. If you look at that pile, it's not like he was really doing a whole lot. It could have happened walking across the street. It's unfortunate. I hope it doesn't derail the World Baseball Classic, because it's a New York thing. You know, I mean, of all places to have, like, a star player get hurt, New York, there can't be many worse places. That's just going to be a cry all year from Mets fans, and understandably so. It sucks. Like, but this really could have happened at any time, and it shouldn't undo the fact that the WBC is a really enjoyable event. And as we get to later rounds, you know, I was lucky when it was in San Diego and I lived there to experience some amazing games, and you see the crowds and they're just so into it. It's how baseball you would hope it's played. It's sort of like going to an A's game and amplifying the crowd in right field by 50 to 100 times. Yeah. Like, I love a soccer vibe at a baseball game. It's so boring at times to be at baseball games that give me the atmosphere, and that's what the WBC brings. And so I undo it because it's a star player from New York.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the concern, right? That's what everyone's talking about. Is this the potential beginning of the end for the WBC? But I love the tournament, and there's tons of people that love the tournament. As you mentioned, like the trash talk, just the festivities of the ballpark over there in Miami. We had on Katie Wu on the last episode of the podcast, and we were breaking down, kind of forecasting the Puerto Rico Dominican game, and she was just saying all the group play prior to that, she lost her hearing. Like, it's that loud in the stadium, just how engaged these fans are. So it would be a shame to lose that energy just because there's so many people that love this tournament. So I don't know, it may not you know, end the WBC as a whole, but it may change certain players that we end up seeing in future installments of the WBC. But I'm with you, man. I mean, this could have happened at camp. It could have happened anywhere.
Yeah.
Anytime an athlete suits up, anytime they step onto the field, they are at risk of having an injury. So, would it have been better? Would Mets fans have been able to swallow it a little better because he gets hurt in Florida versus or in spring training camp rather than pitching in the WBC? I just don't understand the logic there at all. But
right.
But yeah, man.
And that's the thing. Like, I think teams can influence their guys that they're a little worried about to not go. I mean, a prime example is here in camp with us, with the Twins, Carlos Correa.
Yep.
Giants fans may have heard of him. I know that one of the main reasons that he skipped out was because his son was born on the 11th, and he was already going to skip time from Twins camp to go. His wife had their second child the other day, and I know that was a main driver between it, but also he didn't. The ankle played a concern, and I'm sure that he was sitting there going, "I'm glad that's not me," but he opted out, and the Twins have had other pitchers, Yoan Duran, sat it out. And I'm sure that part of it was that he spent 2021 with elbow concerns and was electric last year and throws 103. So I think that already we're seeing people opt out of it anyways. Mm-hmm. When they're sort of borderline, I don't think Edwin Diaz had those concerns going in, and it's really sad. But you can see it in the participation. Like, the U.S. has like 1/10 of the pitching staff it should have.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Guys
yep.
Sit it out anyways. So I think it's going to continue to be elective the way it's been. I think that you're going to see a lot of dudes I love hearing Mike Trout's comments about how thrilled he is to be playing in this. And it's great when, like, the U.S. wants to play. That lineup is so, sick. And like, I just wish our fans embraced it the same way with the same fervor, because it is a major event. And, you know, it's baseball. It's weird to see it happening in spring training, but it's such a good event. And, you know, I think back to that USA game when they won it all. And I think back to the year that Adam Jones made that catch in center field at Petco Park. But it's just so crazy. It's such a fun event. And by the way, shout out to you bringing on Katie also. And, you know, you need all the 707 representation you can get on this podcast. And I'm glad that she and I are both able to bring that to you.
Oh, yeah, man. You guys are our mainstays on the podcast. We're talking to the great Dan Hayes of The Athletic. We're talking Twins. We're talking WBC. Twins fans, I mean, if you're listening to this, paying attention to the WBC, you mentioned Team USA. They have a new centerpiece on their team, or the centerpiece of the trade for Luis Arraez is Pablo Lopez. He's slated to take on Team USA in an elimination game, because we have the elimination games coming up starting tonight, actually, on Friday. But Team USA is playing on Saturday. So what is your overall take on Pablo Lopez, how he's looked so far in the WBC?
Yeah, that was a electric first performance they put on there. I think 4 2/3 and struck out 6. And you never know how much guys are going to be able to go deep into games at this point, just because it's mid-March. And yet he was everything the Twins hope he can be as he goes forward. And, you know, like, Puerto Rico's lineup would look a lot better if Correa was in there. Jose Miranda also sat it out, Twins third baseman, because of throwing shoulder concerns. And they maybe are a little bit thin, but we've seen how good they can be. Lopez made them look really, really like a triple-A team, to be honest. And the Twins have to be pretty pumped about that, because they gave up a lot in Luis Arraez to get Pablo Lopez. And he's got a lot of stuff, and, you know, he's sort of a relative unknown, because if you play in Miami, you're unknown. Like, that's just – the Marlins has sort of been that team the last couple of years, and it seems like their guys leave and go become stars elsewhere, like Yelich and Real Muto and a couple other guys. So I think the Twins are hoping that Pablo Lopez is that guy for them.
Yeah, Pablo Lopez on full display in the WBC. And again, like I said, I believe that he is playing against Team USA, pitching against Team USA on Saturday. You mentioned Carlos Correa. Let's just dive into it, man. Carlos Correa, the Twin. Who would have thought? The last time we talked, Dan, in December, he was a Met, and now he's a Twin. Yep. I mean, would you ever think that you'd be covering Carlos Correa on a full-time basis again after all the events of the offseason?
No, I mean, there's no way in your, like, realistic mind that you could have thought it was going to happen. But the Twins did do enough where they were the spot where, like, his heart was there. That part was never going to be the problem. They really did a good job taking care of his family. He talked about that at length, about how, you know, his dad, so his in-laws and his parents all live in Minnesota. It's like they have a great family connection that, you know, Carlos, now with 2 kids, everybody lives in Minnesota during the season. They live in Houston the off season. And so basically his dad and his father-in-law would be treated like royalty by the Twins at the ballpark. They had like backstage passes to everything, essentially, when they came to the games. And I think that meant a lot to him. He's very family oriented. He talks about it all the time, about how important it was to him. For him, he grew up in poverty, and how much he wanted to help lift his family out of poverty, and like to have a team treat his family the way that, you know, they didn't know him. They knew that they needed to put on their best, you know, face essentially for him. But I think the Twins went above and beyond, and that really resonated with him, to the point where when his second physical failed there, he definitely was all about coming back to the Twins. He knew the Twins were there and it was going to work out. And, you know, for them, it's a great deal, because you look at what the Giants were offering. It was 13 years and $350 million. The Mets was 12 and $315 million. The Twins basically minimize their risk and get 6 years of him for $200 million. They gave him a ton of money up front. They then put 4 years backloaded on there, where he can make $70 million more. But it's all at the time when the risk of injury increases. They gave him all the money when he should be at his healthiest. And, you know, I mean, could the ankle go out at some point in these next 3 years? Absolutely. There's no question. But the Twins were willing to take that gamble because getting Carlos Correa at age 28, they knew that they were getting the best player that they could potentially get, and they weren't going to pass up that opportunity. It's crazy how it all unfolded, but, you know, he's pretty happy in camp. He loves the fact that he has security and that really he only has 6 years to worry about at this point. Anything beyond that is kind of gravy.
Yeah, and I think the key thing is that you got him at a discounted price for less years. I mean, that was huge. So I don't think that this contract. I mean, we all speculate, right? We don't know. We're all predicting, but I think that through the length of this contract, I think you're going to see good years out of Carlos Correa. But again, like you said, something can happen down the road. You never know. But I think on paper it looks like a good deal for Carlos Correa. Before I let you go, Dan, because I know you're on the road. It sounded like somebody was revving up next to you. Was somebody trying to race you while we're on the call, man?
No, that was a truck getting onto the highway going. But Florida, let me just warn you about Florida driving. Don't. How about just don't ever, if you can stick to Arizona, the first 12 spring trains of my professional life were all Arizona. I miss them every day. And I'm not even trying to claim that Arizona drivers are better, but they are somehow. Florida is just awful. It's wonderful to get in the warm weather. Yeah. Everything else sucks.
Noted, man. I will stay on the West Coast. But
Chamber of Commerce employee Dan Hayes, Florida Chamber of Commerce.
Finishing up with Dan Hayes here, man. I just wanted to get your thoughts. We're talking a lot about the Carlos Correa, talking about Pablo Lopez. Carlos is in camp. Pablo Lopez wasn't in camp, but I know you're on your way back to Fort Myers. Who would you say is a guy to keep an eye on for the next star, I guess, if you will? I know you mentioned Jose Miranda. I don't know if you're going to go there, but who would you say would be the next star who you're expecting big things from this year and beyond for the Twins?
Yeah, look, that's the great part, and that's one of the reasons why Correa was excited about coming back. They have multiple options, and we've seen a few in the WBC, mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously Jose Miranda had a really good He kind of fell off in the last month of the season last year, but that's because he was playing every day. He was not getting any protection against the tough right-handers because they were so beat up and Miranda was healthy that they had to play him every day. And in an ideal world, Jose Miranda probably would have got about 30 to 40 less plate appearances and sat out some Justin Verlander matchups, that kind of thing, just to give him a day here and there. He had a really good – if you look what he did from the end of May – through the end of August, he had a spectacular rookie season, and they have some high hopes about him. But, you know, beyond him, Brooks Lee, who's a Cal Poly San Luis Obispo kid, he is a talented kid. I bet you if the draft was done over again, he'd be the second pick in the draft from last year. He had a really good pro debut. They have big, you know, hopes for him. Royce Lewis will come back probably late June, early July. We saw what he did in a limited little window there for about 10 days. You know, first overall pick of the 2017 draft. And unfortunately, he tore his ACL for a second time, and that's a big thing to have to come back from. But I think the Twins and Royce Lewis are really confident. You know, he hit 300 and hit four home runs in a small little span after having not played for 2+ years. So there's a lot of high hopes there. Beyond them, you know, Edouard Julien of Team Canada had a fantastic World Baseball Classic. He's sort of an unknown prospect for them. The Twins are really good at developing hitting players. Maybe not so much positionally. Some of these guys, you know, their gloves don't always come with them, but their bats are really good. Their history is littered with good hitters. That seems to be the case going forward because, you know, they traded a few guys at the deadline last year. And if you look at Reds camp right now, Christian Encarnacion Strand is a monster for them. That's one of the guys the Twins gave up in the trade for Tyler Mahle. And, you know, that's probably – he would have probably been second on that list of guys I just gave you or third on that list of guys I gave you. But he is a – you know, he's another guy that just the Twins found and have bat will travel kind of thing. And he also happens to be a Bay Area native too. So they have lots of options. It should be an interesting couple of years.
Yeah, for sure, Dan. Thank you so much for the time, man. I really appreciate it. You're driving out there. Stay safe in Florida, by the way. And welcome back to the beat. And we'll be following along all season long, man, with the Twins. And I don't know, maybe we'll have some trade partners down the road. I don't know. We'll see what happens. We always tend to talk at the trade deadline. But yeah, man. Take care, and I hope you have a great season. And we'll talk soon, man.
All right. Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right. And there you have it. The great Dan Hayes of The Athletic covering the Minnesota Twins. But, you know, we dabble in everything. He's a Bay Area guy, so we can talk some Niners. We can talk some college hoops. So we can talk everything with Dan. He is a great dude, a regular for the podcast. I'm sure that won't be the last time that we hear from Dan. We're going to keep this thing rolling. But I hope you guys enjoyed that episode of the podcast. A lot of fun to catch up with Dan. It's always a great time whenever every time that he's on the podcast. And who would have thought that he knows Matt Maiocco? We didn't talk about it. We talked about it off podcast. But yeah, it's just a small world. Small world, Matt Maiocco of the 49ers, beat writer for the 49ers. So I hope you guys enjoyed that episode of the podcast. I sure did. Always great talking to Dan. Get your Minnesota Twins fix. And then we talked about the WBC because WBC is what's popping right now. And hey, it's unfortunate that Edwin Diaz got hurt. But as we talked, as Dan said, as Francisco Lindor came out and said, we have a lot of pride when we put on the Puerto Rico uniform. These guys love it. They love the WBC. They love the opportunity to be able to represent their country. So I love watching the passion that these players have. And Edwin Diaz will be back next year. It's unfortunate. But it's a part of sports, man. Anytime, like I said, and what Dan said too, anytime you step out on that diamond, you are at risk of getting hurt. It's just a part of the game. It's the unfortunate part of the game that we have to realize. But hey, WBC, it continues on throughout the weekend. We got elimination games this weekend, so the intensity is going to be magnified. If you thought that it was intense, Puerto Rico versus the Dominican, It's going to get way more intense coming up. It's going to be electrifying this weekend out there in Miami. So you guys tune into that. We'll be continuing talking about the WBC until it concludes. I think we have the final coming up next week. So we are going to continue to talk about the WBC. We might get a showdown of Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. Who knows? We'll see what happens in the coming days. But you guys, hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Talking WBC next week, talking some Grapefruit League, Cactus League, everything, getting you ready for the start of the regular season, which is coming up. It's less than 2 weeks away, so I hope you guys are ready. March 30th, start of the season. Giants out there in the Bronx taking on Aaron Judge. We're going to definitely dive into that. We're definitely going to take a look on over to the Bronx. Carlos Rodon, everything over there with the pinstripes. You guys have a good one. Be safe, and we'll talk to you next time.